But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Again on a Verbal Shenanigans podcast, episode 22. Very, very happy to be on the microphone today. It is a lovely, well, kind of lovely, a little humid for my Irish ass, but lovely Labor Day. And I'm coming to you solo today, which is good, because, you know, it's been a while since I've been on my own here, and the last few episodes, I've had a really, really good time with them, gotten some great feedback, had some good guests. Going back a couple weeks, I had my buddy Steve Schwartz, who's a teacher and a comedian. We talked about that the week before. We had Taryn and Chris Wan, who are regulars, but a really good conversation about race and spirituality. And then the week before that was my good buddy Joe Fernandez, who is an excellent comedian. And then, of course, stretching back before that was with Bill Perez, who, as time recording the Rolling Stones, Black Sabbath, also an excellent musician. So a lot of good episodes, a lot of good guests coming up, working out schedules. But I can tell you that coming on the podcast is a good group of comedians. We have a female comedian. I don't want to say any names yet. Not that they're like massive stars, but they're very good people, good acts in Jersey. A possible chef coming on, and even a very old kind of New Jersey legend comedian coming on. So very happy with some people coming on the podcast. It should be coming. These episodes should be getting up in the next few weeks, just trying to you know, iron out a time and schedule, because I prefer to do them in person, although I can do them on Skype and whatnot. But anyway, it is Labor Day. It is Labor Day, and very, very nice outside. A little humid for my pale Irish ass, but Labor Day always brings for me both a little bit of happiness and a little bit of excitement. Obviously, the sadness, the sad part of it is summer is, you know, over. Summer has come to an end. But as both a teacher and with my wife working in a school system, I'm excited to get paid again. Okay, I am coming close to selling my body on the streets to start paying for some bills. So I am excited to start getting paid again. But in general, I find that myself, I get a lot more done when I have a tighter schedule. When I do have a lot of time to myself, I feel like my mind wanders. And I do things, but then I find myself sitting down to do this, sitting down to do that. And, you know, relaxing a little too much. I really enjoy being on a schedule. Also, my coaching has started, coach soccer. So that takes a lot out of me, but I still love it. You know, it was a rough, like I was talking with Steve 2 weeks ago, rough. I had about 40 something kids. I'm down to about 20, 22. I'm probably going to cut the team down to 20, but, ready to go, ready to rock with the kids. Loving it. But the best part about after Labor Day is knowing that fall is here. I love fall. Everything about fall. I love the weather. Okay, I hate the heat. So a nice cool day where I can keep the windows open. Okay, not turn the air conditioning on. Just have the house fan running. I love when it gets cold enough to put a hoodie on and shorts or kind of anything you wear. Kind of feels fine unless you're wearing like a parka and a winter hat. But you know what I mean. Just I like to have fires in the fall. I love everything. Best of all, that means that the Premier League is here, which it's we're 3 weeks in. 3 weeks in. My boys Liverpool, 2-1. I'll take it. Take it. Lots of new signings, including one of the largest psychopaths in sports I can think of, Mario Balotelli. But hopefully he matures. Hopefully this is his time, because otherwise he could be a very important piece for Liverpool. But I won't bore you guys with soccer talk, because I know not many of you are into it, which is a shame. But also the arrival of football, and you know, and I think being really busy in the fall over the last couple of years has really made me appreciate the time I get to watch football. That sitting down, throwing a couple bucks on a few games, get that Red Zone channel going. There's nothing better. And I just value my Sundays at home. I hate going out to watch games anymore. I like when I could sit down. This year, hopefully a lot of time in the basement. Just got new surround sound system this year. Got it for Christmas last year, so I only got a couple games out of it. But really looking to just enjoy, relax, and value Sundays, which is great because a lot of times there's a soccer game in the morning. Premier League game, I watch it, then watch the 1 o'clock game. Usually I start getting a little tired around the 4 o'clock game, so I go do something, and then watch a little bit of the night games. Problem is with the night games, I don't know if it's just me, or, but I don't know if you guys feel that. The night games are so damn late, and there's so many commercials, it's hard for me to get through them. You know, having to get up in the morning, and then you know, you're up to midnight watching a game, then there's so many freaking commercials, which is part of the reason I've almost changed my ways to watching mostly soccer. That's why I love when the Giants have the 1 o'clock game. It's perfect. Get up in the morning, do a few things, settle in for the Giants game, have a couple beers, and then, you know, do some more things, have dinner, and then watch a little bit of the night game. But I could barely survive them, and now they're on Monday night, of course, so the first Monday Night Football game, all the pomp and circumstance, and blah, 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 blah. And we take on the Lions. Judging by the Giants' offense in this preseason, which I know preseason doesn't mean much, I'm scared. Manning looks lost. There's no wide receivers to speak of. Kind of weak at tight end. The only thing looks okay is the running game with Mr. Jennings there. And if he was okay on the Raiders, he should be pretty solid on the Giants. But what you know, you got fall. To me, it's like when people get that feeling in spring of like coming to life and like yes, you know, like motivated. I get like that in the fall. You know, all my favorite beers come out in the fall, all the great Oktoberfests and pumpkin-flavored beers. All the girls are going, losing their minds over pumpkin-flavored everything, pumpkin coffee, pumpkin pancakes, pumpkin this. But it's great. There's no time better than me. No major holidays, you know, in the fall, unless you count Halloween. And if you still count Halloween in your 30s and 40s, you are you're a little bit strange, but no major holidays where you got to buy presents for people and shop and plan this, and you know, no Father's Day, Mother's Day. It's just a good time to get things done and not have to worry about, you know, like the summer's over, and I feel like every weekend was planned. You know, was able to go on vacation and whatnot, but everything was planned. Coaching starts. Feels like every day and just running around doing things. So fall gives me that feeling of, yes, back to work. Yes, back to a pretty packed schedule. But it strangely gives me a feeling of like, yes, like freedom and kind of back to being productive. So yeah, this weekend. Eventful weekend. Actually, on Saturday, we had a surprise party for my mother. She turned 60. God bless her. Everything went off without a hitch. You know, we had about 35 people at a friend's house. Gave her a little surprise. So she seemed happy about that. So that was great. And then yesterday, which was Sunday, celebrated the old anniversary. 3 years. Been married 3 years to my wife. And we didn't really do anything on our anniversary, but we decided Sunday we'd do some things. So yesterday, first she takes me to, we go to this waterfall called Buttermilk Falls. And, you know, a very steep waterfall. Wasn't a lot of water because it hasn't rained much. So we hike to the top of it, which, mind you, is probably like a 10-minute hike. But it's like straight up. And I was huffing and puffing like an 80-year-old man. Very depressing. Not the waterfall. Depressing myself. Definitely feeling out of shape. Haven't really worked out this month, and definitely feeling it. This morning, my wife is asleep. I tried to do some sets of push-ups, and God, I was struggling around 15, which is not good. Not good at all. Definitely, every time soccer starts, I always have a hard time sticking with the gym and things like that. The only thing I've been doing is playing some volleyball and soccer with my kids, but shit, it's time to get back in the gym. I don't feel like going into winter with some titties. But so we go to, actually before that, we went to this restaurant called the Chatterbox all the way up Route 15. And, you know, it was all right. It was like a 50s-looking restaurant. Like, the Batmobile was in the middle of the restaurant. And that was okay. But then after we go to Buttermilk Falls, you know, we take a little drive. Didn't really know where we were going. And we see a sign, like, oh, Route 80. So we're like, oh, let's just take the drive. It's a scenic drive. And shit, that was a mistake. We drove and drove and drove, which felt like an hour and a half on this road. And we thought it was, you know, we're going to pop out by something because we were going to go to High Point State Park. But it was starting to rain, so we nixed that. So that was kind of a lull in the day. I was ready to, I was starting to get car sick and getting frustrated. So we head on back, and we head towards Chester, and we went to the Long Valley Brew Pub, which was pretty cool. We sat outside, just had a sampler each. Wasn't very impressed with their beers, however. Everything was kind of like, for me, like a 3 out of 5. Nothing terrible, nothing great, nothing original, just like porter, pale ale, blah, blah, blah. Nothing, you know, out of the box. But it was a nice stop. It kind of re-energized us. And then I'm looking at things to do in Chester, and there's this farm there. And I read the description. I knew it was for kids, but, you know, it was down the road, so we went and checked it out. Now, at this time, it's getting more and more humid by the minute. Like, and I can't stand the heat. I'm like, I complain nonstop in the heat. But we go and we just, we sound like fucking weirdos, but we go and we just like look at the animals. There's like these goats and donkeys and things like that. But some of these goats are freaking disgusting. Like I don't know if they lost their horns or something, but some of them had like festering wounds on their head. And one of them touched me. It's freaking kind of nasty. But then we go on the other side, and on the freaking, in the little goat pen, they have a full walkway, like an overpass kind of thing for the goats, and you could feed them on a conveyor belt. So that was kind of interesting. And then after that, I went and tried to wake up these two pigs. I just yell at them. One of them's name was Wallace. The other one's Spike. Solid pig names. But they didn't move. They just sat there with fucking flies all over their nose and mouth and body. You wonder how they can do that. I don't know. And then we capped it off with just grabbing some hot dogs from this place called Davies. And I don't know about you. There's just something about a hot dog every once in a while that is, it's just perfect. I don't care. And you can say, oh, there's all this crap in it. I mean, what do you think's in other food? I don't care if it's other parts of the animal. Good. In fact, that's better. At least they're using them for something. If you don't like a hot dog, you're just un-American. It's a freaking hot dog. It's delicious. There's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
You know, hard to believe I've been married 3 years. Seems like, honestly, if someone told me it was like a year and a half ago, that's kind of how it feels to me. But I'll tell you one thing. I do not miss the process of getting married. The freaking, one, the money. The money is obvious. It's ridiculous. You are spending your life savings on one day, and a lot of the money is towards things that you wouldn't even notice when it's your wedding, like freaking, what do they call little giveaways? Oh, the giveaways, the favors, the DJ, who sits with what? Uncle Joey can't sit with blah, 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 because he punched their daughter years ago, and blah, blah, blah is an alcoholic, and this one's fat, and this one's bringing their kids, and can I bring my kids? No, I can't bring my kids, and this, it causes nothing but problems in the family, and, you know, and our wedding was great. It went off with, you know, a few minor hitches, but just that lead up to getting married is atrocious. And I see a couple friends going through it now, and you know, I could see the frustration building with them. Oh, did you send your RSVP back? And you spent all this money on a freaking card that says yes, I'm attending. I'll have the chicken, like. And, you know, you spend whatever, $2, $3 an invitation on stamps and envelopes and God knows what. When we got married, this was my idea. I wanted to get these ornaments made. There were these wooden ornaments, and they're beautiful. They looked really cool. They were a tree, and it said, save the date, Scott and Julie. So we send them through the mail, and almost everyone gets one, and it's shattered in pieces. Pieces. And you know how depressing that is? We freaking write to the company, have to get more sent. And you know, like, you know, deep down, only you are the one that cares. You think that people are going to cherish these save the dates. And really, other than like your mom and your in-laws, maybe your sister and brother will keep them and hang on the tree. The rest of them probably use them as a coaster or threw them in the freaking garbage, or it's hanging on the fridge somewhere holding up a Chinese menu. And it's just the frustration of getting married, the tuxes, the flowers, the transportation. What are we going to dance to? What should we bring people out to? And it all seems like such a major decision at the time. And you look back, and it's nothing. It's nothing. Let me tell you, all you need, in my opinion, to have a good wedding is you need good music, like a good DJ or band, which thank God we had. We actually had, I'll give them a little plug, but it was called D'Amico Entertainment. And anyone who came to my wedding knows, or I believe most people had a great time. And we saw him at my buddy Adam's wedding. And the guy basically, it's like a half band, half DJ. They play like the tracks, but they have a saxophone player, and he sings, and a keyboard player. And they kind of do a little bit of anything, a playlist, you know, of songs they can't do. But then they'll come out and do, the sax player will go into the middle of the crowd. He really gets the floor going. So good music is one, okay? Good food doesn't hurt, okay? Especially cocktail hour. Cocktail hour is key. That's what you think of, cocktail hour. Because to be honest, how many weddings have you went to where you ordered something for dinner, and you're dancing and drinking, and you eat half of it, and you're like, yeah, whatever. Like, how much food do you think they waste? But the cocktail hour, you always go, oh, that was a good cocktail hour. They had, you remember the size of the shrimp they had? Ooh, they did those toasted glasses for dessert. Like, things like that stick out. My wedding, I didn't even eat. I had a couple appetizers, but I was too busy saying hi and this and that. So I don't envy anyone getting married. Like, to me, I've had fun at weddings that were at VFW halls. I had fun at little weddings that were outside. It's not 100% about the venue and the favors and the glitz and glamour that goes into it. If you can have good music, good food, and have your friends and family there, That's all that matters. That's all that matters. And we had a great time. But did we go overboard? Of course we did. Now, I've seen way more weddings that go even more overboard. But, and you know, luckily my wife's pretty level-headed. And even she, you know, she wasn't like Bridezilla. But some of these women are crazy. That's what's wrong with you women. You think at weddings have become a game of who can top who. All right, well, Scott had blah, blah, blah on the table. Next, well, we can do this plus this or this plus this. Our cake can look like this. Like, who gives a shit? I would have been just as happy looking back with, you know, someone running my computer with my music, someone, you know, with a good sound system, a freaking great barbecue, and just people dancing and having a good time. I don't care about cake. You could have got, to be honest, for me to be happy, you could have got 4 or 5 Fudgy the Whale cakes and served that up, and that would have been awesome. But it's all hindsight, I know. And I don't regret a single second of it, but it's just for people to be spending $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 on a wedding. Luckily, my wife and I were able to almost keep everything off of credit cards, which was good. And I don't know how we're in so much credit card debt now, but that's besides the point. But people putting their lives in debt for a one-night party. You know, yeah, they always tell you, oh, you'll make it up in the morning. You don't make it up. Maybe you make back most of what you spent. You know, if you come from a rich Guido family or something and someone's paying for your wedding, yeah, that's when you see the returns. But there's no way that you make it clear out, okay? You're always going to have cheap Uncle Bob or Aunt blah, blah, blah that sticks a $50 bill in there with a smiley face on the card. Enjoy. Thank you. Like, great, thanks. I'd rather you didn't come, you know? And then it just becomes... That's another thing. You remember like what people gave you and who couldn't be there. And these things divide families. We had a little incident. I know people who in their weddings don't talk to someone after their wedding. For what? For what? The real wedding is, you know, between you and your bride and, you know, maybe your immediate family and friends. But then it becomes like, let's invite the, you know, my third cousin that my mom was friends with in grammar school, they have to be there, but then they got to bring a date. And it's just, it's not fun. Honeymoon, that's another thing. That's fucking great. And it's great because I think it allows people to go on a vacation that they otherwise, you know, could easily brush under the rug over time. Like, yeah, I want to go away, but we don't have the money. We don't have this. You force yourself to go on a nice honeymoon. Now, my honeymoon, the actual honeymoon was fantastic. We went to Alaska on a cruise, which is great that I was able to convince my wife to go to Alaska. What helped is that we had gone to the islands the year before for a week. So we kind of got that tropical, all-inclusive thing out of the way. But getting out to my honeymoon, disastrous. Day after my wedding was Hurricane Irene, okay? So in the morning, we're like, so we survived the wedding. Beautiful day, probably like 80 degrees, sunny, not a drop, a cloud in the sky. Wake up in the morning, it's raining like crazy. We quickly find out all flights are canceled out of Newark Airport. Now, our original plan was to fly out the morning after, spend a day and a half in Seattle, and then board the boat. I really wanted to see Seattle. Hear a lot of good things about Seattle, cool breweries. Was thinking about trying to catch a baseball game, but whatever. So we spend the morning calling the airport, 3 hours on hold, 4 hours on hold. The first thing they say is, okay, well, you can get you a flight out there from Chicago. So, we're still going to do it. Now, our panic is that we weren't going to catch the cruise boat. I don't know what happened. You miss the cruise boat to Alaska, what do? Fly it to the next stop? It just seems like a nightmare that would be. So we said, fine, we'll drive to fucking Chicago. Now, in the meantime, we were trying to figure out how to get a rental car to drive out there. You don't want to take your car and then have to fly back to Chicago and drive home. That's a mess, you know. So we were trying to, you know, keep our flight back to Jersey. So it turns out all the rental car places are shut down. Now, I called AAA, and they said, oh, yeah, we got a car for you. Come down and call me back in an hour. So, you know, we settle down a little piece, packing our bags, you know, final stuff. You know, disappointed, but we're saying we'll get there. We're going to get out there. Call me back in an hour. Oh, sir, I don't know why they told you that. You know, we don't have any cars available. We're shut down because of the storm. Thanks, AAA. Thank you. So more panic sets in. I'm calling and calling and calling. Finally, someone suggests, why don't you call the airport? I'm like, the airport? Everything's shut down. The airport's closed. They said, no, but the rent-a-car might still be open. Turns out it was. So my parents met me, and they gave us a Mercedes-Benz, which was pretty cool. So also, our flight changed. They found a flight leaving from Ohio in the morning. So it was good. We drove straight out to Ohio, basically stopping at one place, a Kentucky Fried Chicken that I went off the road for like 30 miles because I was starving and craving chicken for some reason. God knows why. But so we get there, and then we had to leave from Ohio Airport in the morning, hop on the boat. The first day of our honeymoon, shot. We were so shot, dead to the world. But the honeymoon turned out great. Alaska's fucking beautiful. Did some very cool things. Cruise ships, that was my first cruise. I can't tell you if I would do another cruise right away. The days that we weren't, didn't have a destination, I kind of got a little like cabin fever. Wanted to get off the boat and walk around. There's only so many times you can go play, go to the casino or go in a hot tub or, you know, get a $10 drink from the bar. But overall, fantastic trip. And that was our honeymoon. But yeah, I don't know how I got off on this tangent on what, oh yeah, my anniversary. But yeah, weddings are ridiculous, ridiculous. And it makes men become freaking pussified, worrying about their color ties and the invitations, and you know, it's outrageous what happens to people over weddings. But on that note, I did celebrate my 3-year anniversary. And it was funny, the other night at the Comedy Cove on Wednesday, I was doing the Watson & Watson show, which I've been doing. And someone looked it up, and it turns out your 3-year anniversary is your leather anniversary. Leather. You know how you have like gold and silver anniversary and leather. Now, we had a good, you know, on a good day, but I feel a little gypsed. Leather anniversary, that could have been wild. I know, stupid joke. But yes, so the other night, comedy-wise, the other night I did a show at Mara's in South Amboy, and the show itself, I had a great time. I did fine. Not my best set, not my worst. Good crowd. Leading up to it was a disaster. My friends were busy that were supposed to come. No big deal. Things happen. And things are going on with my wife and her family, so she wasn't able to come. So only my good buddy Juan came out. So, but the show was good. Show went well. Now, last night... that was 2 nights ago already. I went last minute, and I did another show through my buddy Double D, or Dennis, comedian, black comedian, and he asked me to come do a birthday party. It was at a bar. It was at another Caribbean Grill. Now, I went in there with some confidence, because last time I thought I did fine. People seemed to like me. I met some really cool guys. So I get there, and I approach it with some confidence. And again, the only white guy in the whole place. But I liked it. You know, I took it as a challenge. It was, you know, stepping out. That's how you cut your teeth. I'm not afraid anymore of any particular audience. I'm just going to do my thing. So I get up on stage. I'm second. Ty Rainey opens up. He does a great job. He's a good comedian. I worked with him at Tierney's a couple weeks ago. But I get up. And I knew I was doomed the second I got up. I got up, and everyone just kind of started doing their own thing. I opened up with, I thought, you know, two funny lines. I thought I compared. I said, and, you know, something's off here. You know, I feel like Dirk Nowitzki on his first day of NBA practice, you know, coming in all excited and then going, oh. And he comes in and goes, what's up, NBA players? And they kind of like that. I guess it's not that great of a line. And then I went into a kind of a funny thing about racism. And then after that, I ate my balls. I bombed so hard. They didn't give a shit what I was saying. Definitely a learning experience. Did I bomb. I got the, you know, the flop sweats immediately. As soon as I'm bombing that hard and people are just talking over me, I, you know, couldn't even deliver my lines. Trying to do crowd work, which is definitely my weak spot in comedy, and it just failing miserably. But, the black audience did not like me this time whatsoever. So hopefully it doesn't hurt my contacts, but the guy Dennis did call me the next day. He wants to work on some projects, so hopefully I'm not excommunicated by the black guys and black women. But it was a good show. I mean, I had a good time anyway. It was a cool little tiny Caribbean bar in Belleville. But definitely, it was a learning experience. It went into it with probably way too much confidence and thinking that, oh, the black people are going to love me. You know, totally different crowd, different type of humor. So that one hit me hard. That one hit me hard. But as far as shows, I have a show this Wednesday, and I should get this up tonight. So at the Oak Barrel in West Orange, looking forward to it. Big Rich from Jersey, Rich McDonald, got me the show. It should be a good time. It's supposed to be a really good room, so I'm excited for it. And I also got a show from Steve Schwartz on October 13th at Raritan Valley Community College. So, excited for both of those. At least I got some shows coming up. Johnny Watson's coming back from his stint in Maryland. I'm excited for that because we've got a lot of projects coming out in the future. Okay. So, hopefully, I will make you aware of those as soon as we get the ball rolling. Oh, God, another Facebook thing. You guys notice how Facebook. You know, I check Facebook every day, I'm not going to lie. But it's absolutely, there's some things that are so bothersome about it. It's like, you know, one thing that drives me crazy is these Facebook invites. Not the invites themselves, but a couple times over the last few weeks, I have friends saying, oh, I sent you a Facebook invite, are you coming? Or, you didn't post about this, blah, blah, blah. You didn't respond. I say, wow, you know, has it come to that where, you know, you have to respond on Facebook? And I'm terrible with that. I'll read the, read the thing and say, oh, that's cool, and then totally forget about it. But it's just like between the Facebooks and the Instagrams, and that's all I have, but it's more than enough. Oh, how come you didn't like this? My wife says, like my picture. Like, I think we're like, I'm just becoming dumber. It's just sucking up valuable time looking at these things. Like, you know, the other day I'm like, I'm looking around for my cell phone. Looking around for my cell phone. And I call my mom while my phone's in my hand saying, and I almost said to her, I can't find my phone. I'll call you later. Now, I wasn't drinking. It was the middle of the day. I feel like my brain is mush sometimes. Like, we're getting everything, you know, we spend half the day looking down instead of looking up. I think we're evolving, really smart thumbs. like, our thumbs are going to be real smart in a few years and develop different sensors and things like that in them. Like, if you hit your thumb with a hammer, I think you'll have a concussion. But the Facebook, it's like, I'm getting so sick of, like, oh, blah, blah, blah has invited you to play Candy Crush or Farmville or, like, enough. And I'm tired of seeing pictures of everything people's kids do and dogs. And I'm guilty, too. I'll post a picture of my dog. Like, people really give a shit about my dog sitting on a couch, you know? Like, oh, people take pictures of their sneakers that they're wearing, new shoes. Like, I don't know. Like part of me wants to go. I've always said this. I just want to go off the grid for a year. Go live in a cabin somewhere in upstate New York or Maine or Colorado and have just a part-time job that'll pay for, like, a one-room cabin. And I would do it all over again. I'd have freaking one pair of clothes, one plate, one pot, you know, and just make everything simple. Not have to communicate through, you know, email and be on your computer and dealing with pop-ups. Like, oh, great, a pop-up. No, I don't want to do a survey for $5 that lasts 40 minutes. No, I don't. No, I don't want to win a new iPhone. You know, yes, I would like a bigger penis, but I'm not clicking on that because I know what happened. I know, I'm just ranting here. But the Facebook stuff, like, I don't want to see pictures of girls at their bachelorette parties wearing pink dick headbands and penis shirts. Like, what is that? What is that? Like, imagine men did that. We were at a bachelor party wearing big vagina shirts and, like, you know, hair bands that said "I love vagina" all over them and puss rules. I don't know. That's always been weird to me. It's always been weird to me. The whole pink dick thing. Like, oh, great. Like, first off, I know what happens after you get married. The bride doesn't want the dick anymore anyway. Sorry, that was a little off color, wasn't it? But, I don't know. It's just like, as men, are we really communicating through Facebook? Like, This is why, like, there is no community. Men, think about when men hang out. When men hang out, we usually focus it around something. We go to a bar, right? A bar, and we look at the game on TV. We watch a game together. You go to a strip club. You go to a concert. It's because men, there's nothing there. There's nothing to talk about. That's why we grunt and groan and go, oh, nice player, great guitar solo, or oh, look at that rack. You know, like, that's what we are. We're men. Men, we should not be getting offended by not hanging out with other men for a while. You could swap men in and out. There can be guys at my house watching the game that I've never met, and they can come sit on my couch and we'll just get along. Now put us in a room where we got to talk about our feelings and what's up. Yeah, that's when there's nothing to talk about and fights start. But you sit us in front of the Giants game. We're best friends. We're best friends. I don't know. I just think, like, you know, I don't get mad if people have things to do. Like, we're adults, you know. And I know it's hard, but when people are on vacation, or I don't get offended when people can't come to something. It's life. It's life. It gets harder and harder to find free time. And a lot of times, if you're married and you have free time, you spend it with your wife or husband. Like, I don't know. I don't know. It really bothers me where we're going with this garbage. And I really do think it's that social media that everybody knows what's going on in your life. You could look on someone's page and see what events they're going to. And, oh, you said yes to this person's event, but not my event. Like, you could almost see what people are doing daily, and we make it worse by posting things and showing everybody what we're doing on a daily basis. I miss the days of, you know, just I miss the days. You know what I really miss? Stopping by somebody's house. Stopping by. Knocking, like when I was kids and you just rolled up on your bike. Hey, what's Alex doing? Oh, he's not here. Or, yeah, he's here. Let's hang out. Let's hang out. Let's go ride a bike. Now everything seems so planned. And I feel like my students do, where they have play dates and this like and things like that. Like, you have to plan to hang out. No, let's just fucking get together. Or not. It's not a big deal. But it doesn't mean I don't like you. I love you like a brother. I love all you guys. Or you love me. I know you do. It's no hard feelings. But it's when men start to get... This is what women do. Unlike men, like I said, you focus on something. Women like to get in a room. Think about what women like to do when they're younger. They have slumber parties, which is women in a room bitching about men and talking about their crushes. Men, we watch a movie when we were younger. Or we freaking watch a sports game. And it should still be like that. I don't know. That's why we go to a bar. We have a couple drinks. And things get better. Or worse, after X amount of drinks. But I don't know what I'm saying. But all this technology is... It's definitely harmful in a way. And I don't want to sound like an old man. Because I love technology. Learning technology and using it. But the social aspect of everyone being able to contact everyone at any time. Like, you can get a text and not reply to it for a day, and people are pissed at you. And it's like, sometimes, I forgot. Or, I read it and said, oh, I gotta get back to them, and I forget. You know? I don't know. Does anybody else feel that way? I guess when you're doing the show by yourself, no one can respond, so I don't know really why I'm asking that. Wow. 41 minutes into the podcast. In this case, let's get to the news. Let's get to some interesting news here. A man with a 100-pound scrotum inspired by another scrotum to get his mass removed. It's almost fall, everyone, and you know what that means. Stories about football and big sacks. Ha ha! You see what they did there? Oh, the writing is fantastic. And then there's this story about Michigan man Dan Moore, who just raised enough money for an operation to get his swollen 100-pound scrotum removed. A 39-year-old told Daily News that his scrotum started ballooning in the late 20s and continued to swell despite constant exercise. Despite constant exercise. Like, what is your exercise? Lifting your scrotum up to take a piss every day? Like when do you not... When do you go, okay, I finally got to see a doctor? When the scrotum's 20 pounds? When you have to buy special jeans for your balls to fit in them? Morris said several doctors told him to lose weight as a treatment. It wasn't until he watched a TLC documentary, I saw that one, The Man with the 130-pound Scrotum, who died this year after several heart attacks, that he realized he has scrotal lymphedema. Moore wanting to save his marriage and possibly his own life. Oh, you mean his marriage is struggling? Some wife. Oh, babe, I love your freaking gigantic fupa. Are you kidding? When do you say, okay, you got to go to the doctor. We'll figure out the money afterwards. Okay? He decided to meet with the same California doctor who Warren saw to remove the mass between his legs. But he didn't have the money, even with the help of his wife Mindy's insurance. Well, maybe if you had your scrotum removed, your mass removed when you was 5 pounds, you could have been working a job. No one's going to hire a guy with barrel-sized balls. I just put it off on the back burner, thinking this is never going to happen again, he told the Daily News. But a local parishioner decided to lend a helping hand. Together they started a GoFundMe page and contacted the media, raising more than $28,000 and counting for his surgery. Moore hopes to be able to help others who suffer from the condition after his surgery, Gawker reports. He also plans on having sex with his wife for the first time in 7 years. 7 years. So you're telling me the marriage was worth keeping? You're telling me she wasn't out doing something if it was 7 years while your big, gigantic sack freaking ballooned? I don't have patience for these people. I don't have patience. There's a picture of the guy. He's got size 40X sweatpants on And his whole ball sack is just resting on an ottoman. I mean, where does it stop? Where do you get off your ass and go, I got a problem? Instead, you just sit around the house, let your wife work, guarantee she's out with some other guys, for sure, and you just let your balls grow. I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm happy he raised the money for his surgery and he's going to live, but 7 years, 100-pound scrotum wasn't enough to get you off your ass. I don't know. All right, up next, let's see. Wow, Mexican woman Leandra Pequera Lombreres. You like my Spanish accent there? Becomes the world's oldest person. Feliz cumpleaños, Leandra Pequera Lombreres. The Mexican woman, thought to be the oldest person in the world, reportedly turned 127 on Sunday. According to the Metro, Lombreres says she was born on August 31st, 1887. 1887. That means, like, her friends were, like, you know, oh, I guess she's Mexican, but her friends could have been, like, Confederate soldiers. Her family said her secrets to longevity are eating chocolate, sleeping a lot, and not getting married. Ha-ha! Maybe, you know, maybe she's right. Eating freaking Hershey's, resting whenever you want, not having a husband to boss around and fight. But who wants to, I don't know, who wants to live that long alone? She was always a woman who fought. She was still sewing and weaving until about 2 years ago, granddaughter Miriam Alvear, 43, told El Horizonte, according to a translation by Metro. But as the Telegraph reports, Lombreras lost her birth certificate during a move 40 years ago. According to El Horizonte, Lombreras has 73 great-grandchildren and 55 great-great-grandchildren. Her parents were singers, Alvear said. She loves to entertain her grandchildren with the old songs they taught her. I'm calling BS. I'm calling BS. 127? Okay. You reach 100, and that's incredible. 127, and you lost your birth certificate? First off, in 1887, what was a birth certificate? Like a carved-out rock? I don't know. I'm calling, what's the word I'm looking for? Whatever. I'm calling bullshit on this one. Yeah, I mean, she's definitely old. She's probably 100, 105. Of course she could say how old. No one's there to say, no, she's not. She was born the same year as me. She could say she's 190. I'm calling BS. I'm calling shenanigans. Ha ha! That's the name of the show. Get it? Ha ha! I'm sorry, guys. I'm losing my mind a little bit. Oh, God. Her parents love to entertain, teach her songs. I'm sure her great-grandchildren love coming over her house and hearing her sing freaking Mexican Aztec warrior sing-alongs. And that brings me Dirtbag of the Week.
Dirtbag of the Week.
All right, in Vernal, Utah. Okay. Now, I might be calling shenanigans on this one, too, because the woman's name, okay? So I'll go to the headline in a second. You know, so a Utah woman accused of using a pound of bacon to start a fire in her ex-boyfriend's house will stand trial on arson charges. Using a pound of bacon. First off, why waste all the bacon, not just use, like, a freaking magazine or newspaper? Police say Cameo Adon Crispy, age 32, repeatedly called and texted her former flame from his home in Mar. Oh, you see what they did there? Her former flame. Brilliant. Brilliant. Where she left the bacon over a lit burner. Okay, so the reason I'm calling you, her name is Cameo Crispy. And she used bacon. I should get a job writing for these guys. But still, The Deseret News reports the man wasn't home and called the police saying he wanted Crispy out of his house. Officers arrived and saw smoke flowing out the front door. Inside, they found hot coals on the floor around an open wood stove and the burned bacon. Charging documents say Crispy's blood alcohol level was, wow, 0.346. Holy shit. Four times the legal limit. 3.46. That's like got to be close to death. I mean, but she was somehow able to light, to think about, I'm going to use bacon to burn a house down. That's got to be a first. There's so many ways to burn a house down. Now, is she going to try to blame the guy and said he was cooking bacon? I don't know. A Crispy is due back in court in October to face arson, burglary, and other charges. Well, Cameo Crispy, you are my dirtbag of the week. One, you burnt your boyfriend's house down, ex-boyfriend. And two, you wasted a pound of bacon. Oh, God, I'm hilarious today, aren't I? You guys notice that? The craze in this world with bacon lately? Now, don't get me wrong. Bacon is phenomenal. Bacon does make a lot of things better. But, like, now there's, like, this craze where they put bacon shirts and, like, bacon on everything. Bacon festivals. I don't know. It's a little overdone for me. Not everything needs bacon. Like, how fat can America be? Bacon scented things, bacon smoked bacon treats. I mean, and don't get me wrong, I love it. Bacon's delicious, but you know, like, people are a little weird with the bacon shit. I don't know. Which reminds me, we missed, there was a pork roll festival this year in Trenton that we wanted to go to. We missed. It probably would have sucked, but I mean, I don't know. So, burning your husband's house down with bacon. So, I guess we're getting to the end here. Again, back to work tomorrow. Again, playing at the Oak Barrel in West Orange. Please tune in, guys. We got some great guests coming on. Please listen to the podcast on Stitcher, on iTunes, or right off the Podbean site. I am working on my own website, my own comedy website, which will be able to hopefully stream the episodes right from there. Not a big fan of the Podbean layout, but the numbers have been going up, guys. You guys have been great. I've been getting really good feedback from people, a lot of people liking to listen to this on commutes. Again, if you are a person who has an interesting story, that doesn't mean you have to be a comedian or a musician or a filmmaker. Anything, you run your own business, you did something interesting, please contact me. We'll get you on the podcast. You got something to promote, we'll get on. But again, hopefully in the next few weeks we should have a well-known chef, a couple great comedians, someone else, some musicians, and just some good old friends. Hopefully all of you had a wonderful summer. I had a pretty solid summer. Nowhere near as productive as I thought it would be, but I think that is, I think that's everyone's problem come summer. You know, there's only so much you actually want to do, and so much you want to, there's also time to relax, have a little downtime, appreciate life a little bit. Again, if you want to come out on Wednesday, subscribe to the podcast. I love y'all. Keep the wind at your back. Love ya.